Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this day which celebrates the Epiphany of the Lord. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A special message from Bishop Michael Mulvey.
Dear brothers and sisters, I come to you today with a simple but urgent request, and that is that you wear your masks to Mass on Sundays. As we come into the church, we gather as a Eucharistic people who are ready in the Spirit of Jesus Christ to give our life to Him and for one another. This is what it means to be a Catholic Christian at the Eucharist, to receive the sacrifice of His love through the cross, and to be ready to also give of ourselves in service to one another. A strong expression of that is respecting one another and wearing the masks, which may be very uncomfortable for some of us. I know it is for me, but it is a sign that we want to alleviate any hesitations, fears, or concerns for our neighbors around us. Let's be a family who can cooperate with one another, share with one another, and understand each other. So please, brothers and sisters, when you come to Mass, let's do our part and wear the masks. God bless you.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. You too, Barbara, and to everyone there. If we haven't said it already, Happy New Year to everyone.
Right. I think this was 2021 was a year that everybody is very excited for.
Everyone's looking forward to it. Let's hope it brings us the blessing of health and presents fewer challenges than 2020 did.
Right, exactly. Well, we're thrilled to have a new year. As I mentioned in the beginning, this gospel, beautiful gospel reading, is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His word.
This is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw His star at its rising, and have come to do Him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler, one who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, I haven't done this in a long time, but I decided to look up the word Epiphany in the Catechism. And it said it's the feast which celebrates the manifestation to the world of the newborn Christ as Messiah, Son of God, and Savior of the world. The feast celebrates the adoration of the wise men from the east, the Magi. together with his baptism in the Jordan and the wedding feast in Cana.
Yes. Well, this is one of those feasts, of course, that's very much integral to the celebration of Christmas. The Magi, the three kings, as they call them, astrologers from the east come and follow a star to Bethlehem, or actually to Jerusalem, to find out where he is. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're directed to Bethlehem. And there they find in the humble manger the child who is known to be the king. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one thing we need to always remember with these different scenarios or stories that surround Christmas, that surround the birth of Jesus, is that they are not just historical, but they are symbolic for the life of the church for all these years and centuries. And so this feast of the Epiphany, as you read to us from the Catechism, is an aspect of our life as church, of evangelization, that the gospel, the truth of Jesus, is meant for all peoples. And so these coming from the east are coming from a land that is not evangelized, you could say, in the time of Jesus, or not part of the Jewish faith, of course, but really looking for that truth, looking for that light, looking for something more than what we have in our own life. And so this evangelization to the ends of the earth. So the Epiphany in many ways is the manifestation of Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, as the way, the truth, and the life, as the light of the world, is manifested to everyone. And so it's a very special feast in that sense, that everyone is invited to come to the manger, come to Jesus, and find meaning for their life and light for their way of life.
You know, as I was researching this, and I hadn't thought about this in years past, they said that the Magi were from the Far East, the ends of the earth, which is kind of interesting, in that they were non-Jews. Did you say they were looking for something?
Well, everyone is, yes. Right. That is very true. And, you know, I think we all get into our minds that we can get closed in, that this is meant for us. Well, it's meant for everyone. Mm-hmm. If Jesus is truly God, then God belongs to everyone. And so we have to be, that's why we're being invited at this period in time, and this is nothing new. You know, Pope Francis has really put some solid understanding of what evangelization is, but this has been going on for years, that we need, well, from the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, that it's the word of God, the Savior, Jesus Christ, is meant for every person, enlightens everyone's life. So this is symbolic of that, but it's nothing new. Even what Pope Francis is writing is in a new way and a new encouragement to do that, but especially in my lifetime anyway, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, of course, especially spoke of evangelization in his documents, and John Paul the 2nd, of course, and Pope Benedict, all of them have spoken about reaching beyond what we can so often get caught into our world, but that the Jesus belongs to everyone. Mm-hmm. And we have the duty and the right, but the duty to reach everyone to by the way we live, but also by proclaiming him as Savior for everyone. And this is when Pope Francis speaks of the periphery. We speak in terms of the ends of the earth, but sometimes it's the periphery right in front of us. And our duty, and I think really what we're going to be judged on, is did you reach out to your brothers and sisters? Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. Mm-hmm. Have we really done that? So it's beautiful to celebrate these wonderful liturgies and these feast days within ourselves, as to reinvigorate the gospel in us. But then it also sends us forth out. And so this is a reminder on this Feast of the Epiphany that we too are part of that evangelization of bringing the gospel to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I thought it was interesting that, you know, the Magi met with King Herod, and he of course wanted to do something. He didn't want any competition for another king, and so he wanted the Magi to come back to them, but they had gotten word. They were warned in a dream to go back to their country another way.
Well, nobody likes competition, do we?
Right.
So when you've got caught, when you call yourself king of a certain area and region, you don't want competition in that. Or certainly, if somebody else has proclaimed themselves king, you got to take care of that. But if we look, jump ahead through the gospel, when Jesus was before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So the kingdom that Jesus came to bring, to be, is a kingdom that is born in heaven. So of values and of virtues that come from heaven, that to live his kingdom can be done anywhere, in any political situation or any political world. But this kingdom is a kingdom that is rooted in God. That our hearts are set there. And what he wants to bring to us, well, I think really you could say the rule of that kingdom is the Beatitudes. What we find in the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers. To live that kind of a life is to be a part of that kingdom, to build up a presence of Jesus among us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, the King is there. So it's to live an interior life, which also requires time for quiet prayer, to be close to God, close to the message of Jesus, so that we can be part of his kingdom in the midst of whatever system of government or society that we live in.
Such a good message to hear, Bishop, on this first Sunday of January. You know, when so many people talk about New Year's resolutions or I want to do this, I want to do that, you know, have one of the resolutions, well, probably shouldn't even be a resolution, but to deepen their faith and to really work on that, work on the, read the Beatitudes and understand the Beatitudes.
Well, I think one thing, you're right, and I think one thing we certainly need desperately is peace. And so I think if we just took the Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for this year as a New Year's resolution. Don't forget your weight loss, but add it to that. Keep at it. But add, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Be a peacemaker in your home. Be a peacemaker in your parish. Be a peacemaker in your school. Be a peacemaker in your family. Be a peacemaker everywhere, which means put what Jesus said. We read the Word of Life, which we're going to do in a few moments as well. Bring that to the people that you're with. Be a peacemaker. And my goodness, if we had a year where everyone was focused on that alone, would we not have a better world to live in? And not see everyone who thinks differently than I do as an enemy.
Right.
If the Magi saw this king afar as an enemy, they would have never gone to him. But we're not enemies. Let's be friends. Let's be children of God together.
It's a wonderful way to start our year. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to read and discuss the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A lot of people are moving into Corpus Christi, and that's good news. More good news is that locating a parish church or Catholic school is now easier than ever. Just log on to diocesecc.org. That's diocese, D-I-O-C-E-S-E, cc.org. You'll find loads of information there, including parish locations, mass times, Catholic schools, information about the diocese, its clergy, youth and support groups, the South Texas Catholic, and so much more. Even if you've lived in the Corpus Christi, South Texas area for some time, you'll still want to visit the website and learn more about the church and its many activities, missions, and schools. Again, the website, diocesecc.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is an exciting month because this is our first Word of Life for 2021.
Yes, it is. So we start afresh.
Yes.
The Word is old but ever new.
Right.
We've heard it before, but it's ever new to our lives as our life changes as time goes on, mm-hmm. So especially this year. The Word of Life for January 2021. Remain in my love, you will bear much fruit. Every year, Christians belonging to different churches all over the world observe a week of prayer during which they ask the Father for the gift of unity according to the wishes of Jesus. He wants this so that the world may believe. Unity changes the world. It creates communion, fraternity, and solidarity. It is fundamentally a gift from God, and for this reason, it is essential to ask the Father for it with persistence and trust. A group that lives the Word of Life in Spain experienced that this is true. For some years now, during the week of prayer for Christian unity, they felt impelled to pray for the grace of unity and to build bridges with other people. And this is a quote. We contacted the ecumenical officers in the diocese and local church leaders, and we shared our ideas, Margarita wrote. Then we simply gathered together as Christians to pray, and we used our different church buildings. For example, one day we used the Catholic Church, and another day the Orthodox one. Each time, our churches were filled with joy that comes from God's presence. It is He who opens the way to unity. For 2021, the religious community in Grandchamp, France, which is dedicated to the work of reconciliation among Christians, has proposed a very suitable phrase taken from the Gospel of John as the light for this journey. Remain in my love, you will bear much fruit. This is a demanding invitation that asks us to live and work for the unity of Christians, not only during this special time, but also throughout the year, indeed throughout our lives. Our divisions are like a serious wound that needs to be healed, first of all by God's mercy, then by our commitment to know and respect one another. Lastly, by being together as witnesses to the gospel. Jesus' words show us what we should do. First and foremost, remain in his love. Therefore, we should strengthen our personal relationship with him by entrusting our lives to Jesus and believing in his mercy. He, in fact, faithfully remains with us always. At the same time, he invites us to be decisive in standing with him as we offer our lives as a gift to the Father. Jesus suggests that we imitate him in wholeheartedly meeting the needs of each person with whom we share a small or large part of our day. He asks us to do so with generosity and selflessness in order to bear much fruit. Remain in my love, you will bear much fruit. The address given by Focolare foundress Kara Lubick in Geneva in October of 2002, during the events marking the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, resonates strongly. And we quote, "How much love is needed in the world? Jesus said that the world would recognize us as his own, and that through us, by our mutual love and unity, the world would recognize him. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We have understood this. The present time demands love from each of us. It demands unity, communion, and solidarity. It also calls upon the churches to recompose the unity that has been torn apart for centuries. This is the reform that heaven is asking of us. It is the first and essential step that will lead towards universal fraternity with everyone. In fact, the world will believe if we are united. Jesus said so. May they be one so that the world may believe. God wants this. May He give us the grace at least to prepare for it, even if we do not see its fulfillment.
Bishop, as you were reading this, and I kept on underlining things, this aligns so much to what you said in the first part of our program about living out the Beatitudes, blessed be the peacemakers. I mean, that's really what I heard throughout right. this entire Word of Life.
Right.
Peace and unity.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we have a choice. We either continue to accept the world as it is and remain divided, or we start to do something with it. I think sometimes we get a little bit emotional, you know, about our territory or our faith. And certainly, you know, as Catholics, we certainly love our faith. We love the Christian faith that we have been given in so many of its aspects. And not that we have to lose any of that. I mean, that's the thing. I think with unity, it's not that we lose anything, but we gain something by reaching out to our brothers and sisters. Who knows what the body of Christ is going to look like in several hundreds of years as unity continues to march on. But what I'm saying is we have to do something, because the more that we as the ones who have the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace as our Lord and God, mm-hmm. the more we remain divided among ourselves as the body of Christ. And of course, we know everyone baptized into Christ Jesus is part of the body. It's mm-hmm. a divided body. But if we leave it like that and we just say, well, we're okay the way we are, you know, you stay on your side of the street and I'll stay on my side of the street, that becomes a point of ridicule for people. We have to be people that can show that reconciliation is possible, that we may be different, we may remain, you know, in our different forms, but we're one body. We're the body of Christ, and we need to work toward that. And that's what this month is about. The ecumenical month of January is for unity, as prayer for unity, that we do something to show that we are interested in coming together as His body to reconcile where possible. There's so many things that are common that we share together as a Christian faith. You know, Jesus Christ Himself, our baptism, the Scriptures, so much that belongs to us in common. And that's what we need to focus on and not look at what divides us, what is different, church leadership, some of the sacraments. But what do we have in common? That does not mean to water down anything on either side, but to appreciate what each other as different denominations, what each other has as a gift, and to share that insight. I know with the ecumenical meetings that I've been to, I'm just very impressed by the depth of the love for the Word of God that so many others have, the love for the community and the real sense mm-hmm. of fellowship and community that they have. So these are things that in some cases we lose, but we can gain back by interacting and appreciating our brothers and sisters in other Christian denominations. So it's a time for us to reconsider what does it mean to be a member of the body of Christ? What does it mean to be a child of God?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think also that, you know, this in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having a new president, you know, and that, mm-hmm. and that caused a lot of division for the election. So it's a good time to really reflect on that too, to bring the country together.
Right.
You know, we
right.
may not agree with different things in politics, but yet what is the best thing for our country and respect the office?
And yeah, but I think here we're talking, you know, those that are followers of Jesus Christ, that we need to start there.
Yeah, true.
We need to start there. And mm-hmm. then we can we can and be more one at that level of our interior spiritual life with Jesus Christ, then we can also do good for our countries and our world.
Mm-hmm. Because we'll be modeling the way.
Right. Exactly. Somebody got to take the torch and run with it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Heavenly Father, as we begin this new year, we give you thanks for the many graces that we receive daily from your hands. The different difficulties that we may suffer also bring us the light that you are with us always. Bless this new year of 2021. Bless all of our efforts to be peacemakers. And may your Son's ultimate prayer that we all be one be more realized, more fulfilled during this coming year. Bless us with peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.